Service, numerous people had questions concerning the service tomorrow night, Christmas Eve communion. Under the week of December the 23rd, there is a more detailed explanation of what will happen. From 5 to 6, we'll serve communion as we normally do. If you need to come earlier than that, if you'll let me know, we will probably be here and ready at 4:45. 4:45, and then from 6 to 6:45, we will have carols, candles, and readings, and then from 6:45 until, and most of the time, everybody's been here by that time, by 7 o'clock. But if you need to come later, if you let me know, we will remain for a reasonable hour. So from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock, come as families, from 6:45 and later, come as families. But in between there, from 6 to 6:45, carols, readings, and candles.
Do we have any visitors today?
I don't see any first-timers, but
any
we do have
first-time visitors
from North Carolina. North Carolina, South Carolina, East Tennessee. Everybody came from the East. Joy, your parents.
Welcome.
And some college students, Tom.
Good. Beverly's back with us.
Hi, Beverly from Florida. Good to see you.
Well, we hope to see everyone here for the communion service on tomorrow night. It's always so meaningful and always brings such joy in my life. I enjoy it so much. Attendance registers, have they been passed out? If not, please, someone do that so you can register your attendance for today. Prayer requests. Do we have prayer requests that we need to share? I know that we extend our sympathy to Mrs. Bass who has lost her brother this week, this past week. Mr. Robert McCord. I have one I would like to add, the family of Joe Lutzwell. And this is, his father's a dear friend of my family. Joe was a pilot and was in Monterey, Mexico, out checking his plane to fly a corporate jet back to New York and died checking his plane. And the family was so thankful he wasn't in the air when this happened. And he leaves a loving family and leaves a great hole in his father's life. Mr. Woodrow is 91. He was the past president of Farm Bureau and Mr. Farm Bureau himself. So if any of you have Farm Bureau insurance, Woodrow Lutzwell has crossed your path at some time and you didn't know it. Do we have others? Several years ago, the youth did a play about Christians, and it stuck in my mind forever, and they're called the C&E Christians, the Easter and the Christmas. We do hope that they come back.
Bill Martin's brother-in-law got extremely sick yesterday. His name is Griffin right now. I think he's on the prayer list. What? Duke. David Duke, D-U-E, a D-U-W. So fill him up and Bill and the thing.
Do we have others for our prayer?
Please.
Prayer request. Silent prayer and prepare our hearts for worshiping God and remember all those that we have on our prayer list today. Thank you, choir. Thank you, children. Our call to worship today, please follow with me. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the skies rain down righteousness. Let the earth open, that salvation may spring up.
Look, the young woman is with child,
and shall bear a son,
and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Sit here with heads bowed. Would you make your expressions of praise to the God of heaven, or expressions of thanks to God? You may do it silently, but I would trust that some would speak aloud their words, their thoughts of praise to God. Other vocal expressions of praise.
Thank you, Lord, for your peace that surpasses all understanding.
And another, if there be one. Is there enough?
Thank you, Lord, that I can spend this Christmas with my mama.
Maybe someone else. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to you, O God. The angels have told us how to do it. They have even given us the words that we can say. But Lord, you rise up in us thoughts and even expressions that we make vocally of praise and thanksgiving. We do thank you, we praise you. And we come to worship you in truth and in spirit. Lord, let us be free from the cares of the world for these moments together, that we might be prepared to better serve you when we go back into the world and to be a great witness for you back in the world. Thank you for worship. Thank you for people who gather in your name. Be they at this location or down the street or around the world on the other side. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Thank you for a time of celebration that the church has set aside for remembering and offering praise and thanksgiving. Thank you in Jesus' name, in the name of the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Will you remain standing and express your faith through the Apostles' Creed?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From this he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and now.
Confession today is taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 17 and 18. When he, prodigal son, came to his senses, he said, I will go back to my father and to say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Please join me in our prayer of confession. O Holy Lord of hope, in this season of holy anticipation,
hear us as we come to you with humble hearts. You created us to feel the deep joy of your presence and to share in the wonders of your love. You created us to be people of prayer, to be people who discover you in prayer and grow deeper in our love of you through prayer. You created us to be a people of awe and wonder, to look around our lives and discover your presence everywhere, bringing light and life to everything. You created us to be all of these. Yet we can become so wrapped up in the struggles of life that we shut out you and your joy. We can become so busy that we never pray, let alone discover you in prayer. We can become so focused on this and that that we never look up from our lives to discover your mystery all around us. Touch our hearts this morning so that we can become people of joy, prayer, and gratitude who shine in your presence.
Amen. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 assures us of that forgiveness. But if we confess our sins to God, He can always be trusted to forgive us and take our sins away. Special music, I believe, now.
Thank you.
girls please remain in the sanctuary? There is no children's church today.
Thank you. to know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters.
He did know that your baby boy has come to make you new.
The child that you delivered
will soon deliver you. Did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hand?
Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels run?
When you kiss your little baby,
then you kiss the face of God.
Thank you.
offertory sentence today. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord your God has blessed you. I invite the ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings.
Jacob and Melanie. Here's the lesson this morning. They're printed in your insert.
Our first scripture comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. In the sixth month, God has sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you are the highly favored one. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of Most High will overshadow you. The Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she, who is said to be barren in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
From Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us.
Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken to the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. For the word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God. God is good all the time. And God is with us to save us. Story from Luke. My daughter asked for a traditional Christmas sermon today, and I have responded to other people's requests for a special sermon on a special subject. So I did to my daughter, and we were talking, that was last week sometime. I said, but we've been talking about getting ready for Jesus, but she says, yes, but I want to hear the traditional Christmas story of Mary and Joseph and the shepherds. We left out the wise men. We can only get so much in 1 hour. We will refer to them kind of rapidly. This was an honor because this is the same daughter that said at one time, Daddy, I don't listen to your sermons. So she's come a long way, and we've come a long way, I guess. And then she got to the point, she said, well, I listen every once in a while. And now she's asking for sermons. God is good all the time. Pray that I will do justice to it. Gospel of Luke, the Gospel of Matthew. It was foretold 700 years before it happened. That's a long time to wait for something, is it not? 700 years. That took generations, did it not? But it happened over, there's a zero missing, over 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, we're still talking about the event, the birth of Jesus. Someone said, and I agree, I believe, I proclaim, the greatest story ever told. The greatest story ever told, the greatest event that ever happened. For the benefit of mankind, for my benefit and your benefit. What is the story? The story of the birth of the Son of God, Jesus, who is the Christ. A story of a virgin conceiving a divine Son. The story of a rather quiet boyfriend, because we don't hear much more about Joseph, do we? Maybe once when Jesus was 8 days old, and maybe once when he was 12 years old, and when else did we hear about him? A quiet boyfriend. A little more than a boyfriend. They were pledged to one to another, and we really don't comprehend the process of pledging and arranged marriages. We don't know when the marriage was arranged, but it was arranged a little more than an engagement. But we would probably refer to it and could understand from our society an engagement. But a little past that, a real commitment, a serious commitment. The families got to do the committing. The couple to be married. They didn't have much to say about it. Angels. Angels speaking to this boyfriend and this fiance. And the boy listening. Joseph listening. then a story about some poor shepherds. They must have been the lower ones on the whatever the union people call it, because they got the night shift. If you're high up on the roster, you get the day shift, right? And a little lower, you get the evening shift. But they were out there by night. Now, what hour of the night? We believe after midnight. We've kind of referred to that, the midnight shift. Some poor shepherds out in the field watching their flock by night. But then we have some eastern kings. We call them kings, wise men, gazers of the stars, eastern kings following a star. What a story. A yonder star, it is referred to, and a preacher by the name of Winfried Verga refers to it. You wouldn't know her, but or I wouldn't know her, but she pointed out, as I read her sermon, Eastern kings following a yonder star. Star of wonder, star of light. A stable. A stable full of domesticated animals. There was no room for them in the inn. How many of you have played the part of the innkeeper in the Christmas pageant somewhere along the way? Any of you guys or girls been the innkeeper? There are 10 words about you, but you were the central character. Maybe you played it up real big. Only gives us 10 words. The NIV, about the innkeeper. There was no room for them in the inn, if I counted right. Every Christmas play gives him a big part, doesn't it? He may be, you know, somewhere before they get to the main scene, but he is there. A stable. Domesticated animals. This is the setting for the story. This is the setting for the incarnation of God coming to earth in the person of Jesus. Today we're looking at the baby Jesus. A mystery. All of it, is it not? We don't understand it. If we do, explain it to the rest of us. If you're ready, I'll sit down and allow it to happen. Don't think it will happen. We don't really understand it. We may make stabs at it. A miracle has happened. A miracle. Each gospel writer begins the story in a different way or their account. Mark kind of overlooks it. Mark begins his gospel with the baptism of Jesus. John the Baptist doing the baptism. John, if you look at John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word came and dwelt among men, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. And John proclaims, we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, who came forth from the Father, full of grace and truth. Luke, we read it. Luke tells the story from Mary's vantage point, or from with Mary at the center of the story. But Matthew tells it a little different. Matthew tells this remarkable story of this angel coming to a man, a young man, in a dream, and telling him about a birth. That his loved one, his love, was going to give birth to a child. And it wasn't his child. Professor, theologian, preacher Walter Brueggemann he's from Georgia, says the whole message to Joseph came at night when he was asleep. And when he was relaxed, and when his guard was down, when his ability to argue was not as strong as it might have been if it had been at an evening meal, the angel told Joseph, do not be afraid. And in this scripture lesson, the three scripture lessons, I think I went back this morning and counted three times that the people involved are told not to be afraid. There was some fear involved in this, or some anxious moments and some anxiety, to say the least. And if over and over they were told not to be afraid, I think that would be a message to us today concerning God coming to us. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid of the situation, Joseph. Do not be afraid of what people might say. For this child that Mary is carrying, he is of the Holy Spirit, or this experience is from the Holy Spirit, from God. A dream, an angel, a baby on the way, and not his baby, but she was his girlfriend. A message from God. A message sent from heaven. Not in human terms. A message outside the normal. A story outside the normal. Brueggemann expresses and suggests that we not try to explain this event. We not try to explain or to understand all that went through Mary's mind, all that went through Joseph's mind, the mind of those others involved. But he suggests, and I agree with him, and so I suggest, that we just be dazzled by the event. It may be different. It may be, to our normal way of thinking, unbelievable. But when God is speaking, sometimes He tells us stuff that it takes a while for us to believe. When God deals with us, He even does things within us that we find difficulty accepting, believing. So sometimes all we can do is be dazzled. Be astounded. Be a little confused. But be trusting. Be dazzled. Brueggemann says that something has happened beyond our understanding. And in this case, Jesus, a baby, a wonder, a gift, designed to move us beyond ourselves and beyond that which is normal, beyond the common, beyond the everyday, something holy and something of God. One thing the message came to Joseph by night. The baby had no earthly father. A scandal, if you will. A hush-hush situation, if you will. Joseph thought about putting her away quietly, but he was a just man. And he said he would do what the angel told him to do. So he did not. How was he going to explain to his friends down at the street corner or at the local hangout? Didn't matter. God had spoken to him. And this Jesus was from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph accepted that. And Mary accepted that. This is not the first time that we see the Spirit at work. The Spirit was at work back in Genesis 1. That's the creation story. The earth was void and without form, and the Spirit of God moved. And earth came into being. And then the amazing thing is that God took some dust or some clay and with some dust and made it into a clay with some moisture. And here we are. Miracle, right? Understand it? If you do, explain it to me. Dazzled by it? Okay, good. How did it happen? We don't know. It's a God thing. Of the Holy Spirit. Another place in Exodus. The Israelites were running from the Egyptians. They had been set free, but the Egyptians decided, no, they don't need to go free. We need them back. We need the slave labor here. So they got to the Red Sea and the wind came. The Holy Spirit came and blew the water back. And the Israelites got through the Red Sea on dry land. And even just recently, just today, I was reading Exodus account. I think it's the 14th chapter of Exodus. And it says that the wheels came off of the chariots of the Egyptians as they were in the mud. And then an explanation says that the wheels were clogged. But read the King James and the NIV, but they have a little footnote there, that the wheels came off of their chariots. It's a revelation, is it not? It's a God thing. The Holy Spirit. And our ancestors escaped from slavery because the Holy Spirit rolled the waters back. But when it was time, when the Egyptians got into the water, or the place where there had been water, it came back on them. We see God's Spirit calling prophets and apostles and martyrs. We see God's Spirit in the book of Acts when Peter was preaching and the Holy Spirit came upon the crowd. Blessed his preaching and blessed the ears of the listeners. And they heard Peter preaching in their own language, which he didn't even know. And the creation of a community of faith. God's Spirit coming to us. It's a God thing. We don't understand our salvation. We don't understand how this Jesus could come and save us from our sin. Here Matthew tells us that God's Spirit stirring and causing something new, something unprecedented. God sent this baby who would change everything. Two names for the baby. One name is Jesus. He will save his people. The second name is Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus is Hebrew for saved. A baby named saved. Other babies had been named saved. They would save Israel. But now Jesus is on the scene. Joshua, that's another name for Jesus. Joshua, but now Jesus. Jesus, what does he save us from? He saves us not from advancing Egyptians. He saves us from sin and from guilt. Jesus saves us from death and destruction. Jesus saves us from despair and hopelessness. And Jesus saves us from poverty and sickness and hunger. Monday afternoon, Mr. Vaughn and I delivered 5 baskets. They were boxes, but we called them baskets. 5 homes. We were going in the name of Jesus to help save people from hunger. I think there were 11 more that some of you delivered in this community. A man kind of on the perimeter of the church called me, I guess, Wednesday, and yesterday or day before yesterday, I was with him as we delivered some gifts, gift cards to a family, saving them in the name of Jesus from despair. Jesus came to save. I do have a testimony that in 40 plus years of ministering to people, I have never, to my memory, and I'm subject to forgetting, I admit that this morning, been called on by a family to help that was actively involved in the work of the Lord. It's always been, oh, we used to be, but we got put out with the preacher and we quit. Or we just moved and we haven't got involved yet. And I give the testimony to these people. I'm convinced, folks, we're going to help you, but I'm convinced that Jesus, God, takes care of His people. And some will say, well, they're too embarrassed to go to the church. Well, they could go down the street to our church if they were from another church. But in 40 plus years, never has a family, to my memory, come and ask for help, be it Christmas or another time, unless there was some unusual tragedy in their life.